Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Every Friday at 8:30 Eastern, we do this radio show with Pam and Ron Harshman on Harshman Travel Radio. If you go to harshmantravel.com, harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see a great website that Pam put together, and you'll also be able to hear some of these radio shows that we've done previously on Building Fortunes Radio, /BuildingFortunesRadio.com/Harshman or Harshman Travel. Well, when you go there, you'll be able to hear, like I said, different things that we've done with radios. And the way this whole thing got started is Pam was a customer of ours, and I was always very impressed whenever I spoke to Pam. She was always really good at being very thorough in follow-up, following through, asking questions, knew that she just inherently cared about the people and the customers that she had. So when we were building Fortunes Radio, which is over a decade now, I said, you know, who else can I have as a guest speaker? Pam was certainly one of the first people that I spoke to. And I told her that this is what we were doing. And she said, oh, you know, we're going to be moving in a different direction, not the traditional MLM or home-based business company like that. We're going to become travel agents, me and Ron, or Ron and I. So I said, huh. And then I said, well, maybe. Since a lot of people in home-based businesses, if you look at their wish list, their goals list, you know, if you look on their bulletin board or wherever they might be able to put their pictures of their dreams and desires and goals, it would be more travel. So we should really have our own travel, you know, agency, if you will, on Building Fortunes Radio. So we decided to do this. So every Friday at 8:30, this is what we do. Now, I think, especially in the world of incompetence, where you expect incompetence, like you understand mistakes, but you expect incompetence wherever you go when you're dealing with something. I said, you know, I want you guys to have the same level of confidence in Pam and Ron as I do. So we start off the radio show where we go through their backgrounds, and then we take a commercial break, and then we come back where Ron's going to give us some of the good news in the travel industry. And I am so pleased to say over the last couple of months, towards the tail end of 2023, and especially now into 2024, the second half of the radio show has a lot of really good information about what's going on in the travel industry. So let's do the intros. We'll go to Pam first. Ladies first. Pam, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having us again. It's been a long time. We've been doing this a long time.
It has been. Yeah, I know. Crazy.
Anyway, crazy. Bit about my background is I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest. Loved my job and slow but sure moved myself up into court administration and was very happy there until I met my husband, who unfortunately lived farther away than I could travel. So we ended up moving down to sunny Florida to be with him and start a new life down there and down here, I should say now, because I'm here. But once down here, I didn't want to start at the bottom of the ladder again. So I was looking for something that I could do primarily independently and from home if possible. I ended up getting my realtor's license followed by my broker's license and sold real estate in South Florida for several years, but that just wasn't my niche, and so I went back and got my life and health insurance license, and I sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. I absolutely loved it. I loved going and traveling and answering questions for the seniors because as we have aged and getting up there myself, your decisions about your health care, to me, is one of the most important decisions you're going to make. And so when people start getting at that Medicare age, there's a lot of questions, because that's got to carry them through the rest of their life, you know, with pre-existing conditions and stuff later on. It's not easy to switch around. So I really felt good about what I was doing, but at the same time, it was a lot of fun. I would go to an appointment and be greeted by a table full of older ladies set all up for nothing short of a tea party. And sometimes I'd go and it would just be a couple, or I'd have two or three couples there. It didn't matter to me, but it was always the unknown that made it fun. But at the same time, I was getting those carrots dangling in front of my face on my Facebook news feed, and all about the home-based businesses, MLMs, and I was very intrigued. I did try several of them. I had a couple losers in there, but for the most part I had winners, but I learned so much. It's a whole different ball game, and I truly learned a lot that even enabled me to get our website up and running. And you and I met. Yeah, I was a customer of yours, so that was also a positive, and we've been friends ever since. So it was a win-win all the way around. But one day I was out on my travels, and I had a girlfriend call me, and it was took me totally by surprise. Out of nowhere, she just asked if Ron and I had ever thought about becoming travel agents. And it hadn't been, it was really fluky, seriously. It hadn't been but maybe a week that Ron and I, prior to that, had been talking about traveling. We were empty nester baby boomers. We had some disposable income, and we were both in a position to make our own work schedule. So we were kind of comparing bucket lists and where we wanted to go, and, you know, kind of itemizing it out and prioritizing to see where we were going to go first. And so when she brought that up, it just blew me away, and I couldn't wait to get home and talk to Ron about it. Once I did, we started doing some research on the internet and listing pros and cons, and ultimately, obviously, we jumped in and got all the education we could get our hands on, and got the proper licensures, and ultimately we have probably done a whole lot more traveling than we would have done otherwise. And at the same time, we have helped an awful lot of people with their travel plans and trying to stretch their travel dollars at the same time. That was until the C word, COVID, hit. And once COVID hit, the whole travel industry shut down worldwide. So we were kind of left talking about it. But things are back up and running stronger than ever, which I'm sure Ron's going to fill you in on later. But, yep, we are happy. It's up and going good now.
Excellent. Okay, good. And Ron, over to you.
Hey, thanks, Peter. Good to be with you again. My background is very different from Pam's. I spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved, obviously, in my own clinical work, but also chose to become involved in the self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I first got involved, a very good friend of mine, a teacher and a mentor, suggested to me that she really felt I should become active in the Provincial Association of Psychologists. She felt that I had a lot to offer, and she also felt that it would be good for me professionally and personally to get involved and really see all the stuff going on behind the scenes that most professionals never become aware of. Turned out to be very true. It doesn't matter what profession you talk about, whether it's law or dentistry or medicine or whatever, most professionals get involved. They join their national association of like professionals, and they may attend an annual conference or something like that, but that's really the extent. They pay their dues, they're a member, and all that is a whole ball of wax. Very, very few professionals really get involved in the behind-the-scenes heavy-duty workload of the whole self-regulatory aspect. And I followed her advice. I did get involved in the Provincial Association. I was up in Canada at the time, and got elected to their board of directors, sat on ethic boards, etc. But I followed that by very soon getting involved also in the National Association, the Canadian Association of Psychologists, and got very heavily involved there. Was fortunate to be elected as chair of the applied division of that organization. Sat on the board of directors, chaired the ethics committee, and very heavily involved in all of the self-regulatory aspects, working with the governmental agencies, etc. Really opened my eyes because, as I said, very few professionals get involved in that, the behind-the-scenes stuff. And it's amazing to see, especially sitting on ethics boards and dealing with professionals who have really crossed the line in some respects and done things that have ended up even costing them their license. But it was a wide awakening thing for me. I was very thankful that she had pushed me in that direction. And at the end of my career, I was very, very fortunate. I was elected as a lifetime honorary fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association. So it really was an eye-opener, but I felt good about my contributions there and felt good about what I was doing. In terms of my own clinical practice, I was very fortunate in both my undergraduate and graduate school years to have a couple of professors who really stressed the point that if we were even thinking of going into private practice at any point, it would be very important to first gain as much varied clinical experience as we could working with different clinical populations, because they made the point that when you're in private practice, you you know, hang up your shingle, you let people know you're seeing patients. You really have no control over who's going to call and make an appointment to come and see you, what their life situation is, what they are needing help with, etc. And it was a very factual statement that if you are totally unaware of the life stresses that they are going through, the situation that they are facing, you can end up doing a lot more harm than good. And I really took that advice to heart and made sure that before I went into private practice, I had been working for pretty much every one of the social service delivery systems. So had gained a lot of experience in corrections, in drug abuse, alcohol abuse, workers' compensation, retardation, hospitalization, psychiatric hospitals, etc. And when I went into private practice, I really felt very prepared to do that. When I was involved, it didn't take me too long before I started really specializing, working with young couples, young families, and working with that population, doing a lot of premarital counseling, a lot of marital counseling, sexual counseling, etc. You end up seeing a lot of these young couples who basically have grown up in the throwaway society. You know, if it doesn't work, throw it away. And unfortunately, they have that attitude towards their marriage. So as soon as things start to go wrong, they throw the marriage out. And unfortunately, a lot of the immature ones will see fighting over their children as the last battleground where they can possibly really hurt their about-to-be-ex spouse. So I ended up very quickly ending up in a lot of court cases, a lot of family law custody disputes, and because that was a very, very newly developing arena up until the time I got involved. This had nothing to do with my involvement. It was just time-wise the same timing. But up until that time, it was pretty much a pre-drawn conclusion, both in the Canadian and the U.S. courts, family courts, that if there was a young couple going through divorce and there were young children involved and there was a custody dispute, that custody would almost always go to mommy, visitation to daddy. And although that worked in many cases, we were starting to see many, many cases where not only was it not working, but it was really a very negative and harmful decision. And thankfully, the courts were recognizing that, and both in the Canadian courts and the American courts, the decision was made that going forward, any time there was an issue of custody and access dispute, that the decision rendered by the court had to be in the psychological best interest of the children involved. No more pre-drawn conclusion that mommy gets custody. And because of that, it afforded the opportunity. I was one of several clinicians who got together and decided that it would be very important to have a standardized approach to doing child custody investigations, who should be interviewed, what the evidence should be that you were looking for, how did you make a decision to be able to clinically go in and recommend, custody here, access there, and how could you present that in court. And I was very, very fortunate to be in a pretty small group of professionals, both clinical social workers and clinical psychologists, that were responsible for putting together a standardized program for doing that. And I spent an awful lot of time involved in doing that in court. I was one of the first psychologists in Canada to be appointed by the Supreme Court as an expert in child custody. And as things worked out, I ended up after several years in the Canadian court system doing this kind of work. I ended up moving to South Florida and getting involved with a forensic psychiatrist who was doing a lot of work in the South Broward courts and in the Dade County courts. And I had the opportunity to introduce the whole system of child custody investigations and ended up being the first psychologist in both the Dade and Broward County court systems to be appointed as an expert in child custody matters. So that was very, very rewarding. It was obviously very, very taxing, very heavy work, because, in many cases, you really saw some pretty heavy-duty stuff. A lot of times it was fairly straightforward, but there were those cases that were very, very heavy. Anyhow, after Pam and I got together, we weren't together for that long before we decided to semi-retire. We moved from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida, got involved in raising alpacas. As Pam mentioned, she got involved in home-based business multi-level marketing, and although I wasn't involved in that at all, I was very supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk seriously about becoming professional travel consultants, it was just something that grabbed both of us. And we looked into it, looked at the pros and the cons, made the decision if we were going to do it right, we would do it the right way. We would get all the proper training, all the proper licensures, et cetera. But we would also spend the time and energy finding those travel vendors that we felt comfortable working with, supporting, and representing, because as is true in any arena. You have those vendors who are really out to just do whatever they're doing to make a buck, and you have those other vendors who are really concerned about giving their clients good value for their travel dollars. So it was important for us to find those travel vendors, and as a result of our efforts in that arena, I ended up meeting with a number of the top executives of several of the cruise organizations, and we really have ended up being able to do a lot more travel than we ever would have been able to do ourselves had we not become travel consultants. And we've also helped a lot of people make the most out of their travel time and money. So, again, I've become a little verbose. I will apologize for that. We will take a break and come back with some really good news.
And we're going to be right back. Sit tight.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we're back. Peter Mingles here with Ron Harshman. Ron's going to give us the good news in the travel industry. So over to you, Ron.
All righty. A lot of interesting stuff going on this week. Again, really showing that the travel industry has certainly come back from the COVID fiasco, much bigger and stronger than ever before. On a somewhat negative note, but it's unfortunately the reality that we're presently living in, Royal Caribbean is involved in their Ultimate World Cruise, and they are presently going around the world. It's a long trip, going to many, many ports, many, many countries, etc. And they just decided that because of the problems going on in the Red Sea, they actually had a vote on board with the clients on the ship asking them about doing an alternative itinerary. And they voted to do an alternative around Africa. And they're saying with 18 ports of call in Africa and Europe, the new route includes exotic destinations such as the Seychelles, Madagascar, and Mauritius. And they're sailing from Dubai to Italy via South Africa. And that's a 43-night segment of the trip. And that's from May 9th to June 20th of 2024. And Royal Caribbean said that they gave their passengers 5 days to vote, and it was going to be their vote on the change of itinerary. And they came up with this, and they said that they were approximately 90 days away from the impacted itinerary, and they said they just needed to make a decision about what they were going to do. So they made that decision, and they again offered passengers a 25% prorated refund of the segment of the cruise in the form that you know, they are not going to be able to take. And this cruise departed from Miami in early December, and this is a 274-night journey. So when you think about going on a cruise, and people are going on a 2 or 3 night or a 7 night or longer one of 14 nights, 274-night cruise over 150 ports of call in 60 different countries and 7 continents, including Antarctica, Asia, South America, and Europe. So that's what happened in terms of the Red Sea. That is affecting a good number of itineraries, a good number of bookings that, in all cases, the cruise line is coming out and saying that in deference to the safety of their passengers, their staff members, etc., they're having to make alternative itineraries and just avoid that area. And they're talking about doing that really for the good part of this year. So we'll see what happens. Okay, on a more positive note, the tourism minister for Malta announced that 2023 was a record year for the number of visitors, exceeding the 3 million mark. And that figure surpasses the 2019 figures pre-COVID by 8.3%. So it just proves that things are coming back much bigger and much stronger than it certainly was predicted during the COVID years. I'm just very happy to see that all of the discussions, Peter, that you and I had, the prognostications that we were making about how it would all turn out are really proving to be very, very on point. And we are really seeing the entire travel industry, but in particular the cruise industry, coming back much, much bigger and stronger than they were before. At the same time, Bahamas Ministry of Tourism announced record-breaking visitor arrivals for 2023. They say that they had 9,654,838 visitors, and that represented a 38% increase over 2022 and a 33% increase compared to the previous 2019 record. So again, we are seeing just tremendous increases. They said that the 2023 result reveals a 17% increase in foreign air arrivals, totaling 1,719,980 visitors, compared to 1,470,244 in 2022. So just over the year, you've got that 17% increase in foreign air arrivals. Cruise arrivals saw a surge with 7,934,858 visitors in 2023, and that was up 43.5% from the 5,530,462 in 2022. So the Bahamas tourism people were very happy. Their comment was, the Bahamas has not only surpassed its targets, but has set new benchmarks in the tourism industry. These figures are a testament to the hard work and dedication of everyone involved in our tourism sector, the irresistible charm of our islands, and the friendliness of our people. So again, we're seeing more and more indications of how the travel industry, and in particular the cruise industry, affects not only the people who are traveling on the cruise, not only the passengers, not only the crew members or the crew, the entire cruise company organizations, but the ports of call and the people and the economy attached to these different ports of call. and it's just really nice to see how it all continues to really blossom. Holland America just announced that their 2026 Grand World Voyage will be a 132-day cruise going out of Fort Lauderdale, and it will span all seven continents, including a special four-day Antarctic experience. So they are saying that the tour will visit 47 ports across 39 countries, traveling as far south as the Antarctica and as far north as Oslo, Norway. And they said that they asked thousands of past guests and travel advisors for their opinions about the perfect Grand World Voyage. And they are saying that this particular itinerary has to be one of their most thoroughly researched routes, even for a world cruise. Highlights of the 2026 Grand World Voyage, in case anyone is interested in signing up for that, 47 total ports in 39 countries across seven continents, 9 overnight calls, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Papeete, Tahiti, Sydney, Australia, Bali, Indonesia, Singapore, Malay, Maldives, Safaga, and Alexandria, Egypt, and Lisbon, Portugal. So again, lots of things going on. And a special bonus for people signing up for this right now is a $2,000 onboard credit per guest and a Wi-Fi surf package and more. So anybody who's interested, definitely give us a call. Okay, a couple more realistic and attainable things that we can talk about. Carnival Cruise Lines celebrated the naming of its new ship, the Carnival Jubilee, at a February 24th naming ceremony in Galveston, and they named Gwen Stefani as the ship's godmother. Okay. And she was there. They had a 45-minute ceremony, and after the celebratory lunch, Gwen Stefani treated them all to a private concert, singing different hits, including Just a Girl, The Sweet Escape, and Hollaback Girl. And she spent the day on board the ship and met the captain and the president of Carnival Cruise Line made the comment. I think it was very appropriate. I know she has been honored in so many ways for her music, with numerous awards and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And now she has a ship. She's also put giving back as an important focus in her life, especially to a number of children's causes. So we are truly thrilled to have Gwen as the godmother of our flagship Carnival Jubilee. And just along that point, and this is something that Carnival has done for quite some time. They made the announcement, Christine Duffy made the announcement, after meeting its 2024 goal of raising $33 million for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, Carnival Cruise Line announced that the company has set a new pledge goal of $50 million by 2030. And this is just part of what they are involved in. And Gwen Stefani was involved in the naming of the ship at the same time that they announced this commitment to raising this money for St. Jude's. So obviously, there are many comments made back and forth between the St. Jude people and the Carnival people praising each other and thanking each other, but I think it's a really remarkable indication of how Carnival, and they are not different from any other of the cruise lines, but have set a goal in terms of community giving back, and they are doing their best to constantly increase what they are doing and how they can have a significant impact on the different ports that they visit and the different people that are involved in the whole cruise industry. Interesting announcement by Viking, which is a started out as one of the major river cruise companies in Europe. They then ventured forth and started doing some ocean cruises as well, and doing expeditions on top of that. And the announcement was recently made that they have filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission to have a $500 million IPO. So if you're looking for an opportunity to invest in something that is very likely going to grow very, very big and be very, very positive in terms of growth, keep your eyes open. The IPO has not been announced formally, but there are all indications that the application has been submitted to the SEC, and I would expect that that we will get a formal announcement that it is open for investors pretty soon. Last things. Princess Cruises has just put out their latest Love Boat look-alike. It's a 4,300-guest Love Boat ship. It embarked on a 10-day Grand Mediterranean cruise round trip from Rome, and it will take guests to visit Naples, Italy, Crete, Greece, Kousarissa, Turkey, Athens, Greece, Sicily, Italy, Mallorca, Spain, and Barcelona. So, again, we're seeing more and more itineraries that are being manufactured to make cruising that much more of a new experience opportunity for people. I know I'm over time, so one last announcement that I thought was kind of cute for those people who think nothing ever happens to just regular folk doing nothing. It was announced that the Virgin Group founder, Sir Richard Branson — Virgin is a cruise line that they've got running — but Sir Richard Branson surprised passengers when he walked onto a Delta flight heading from Atlanta to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and he announced that Virgin Voyages and Delta Airlines teamed up to surprise 160-plus passengers with a free cruise aboard the Brazilian Lady to celebrate the ship's launch in Puerto Rico later this year. So people who were on that ship or on that plane going to San Juan had no idea, but they were given a free cruise, and I'm sure there are a lot of people and a lot of families who are very happy. So more power to them. Anyhow, lots of good news. Again, the Red Sea issue is hanging in the air. We really don't know how that's going to evolve or how long it's going to be an issue, but we are seeing more and more itineraries being changed because of that. But in spite of that, we're also seeing many, many positive things going on in the cruise industry, and anybody who's interested in seeing what they can put together for a short vacation, or if somebody wants to go on one of these world cruises, be sure to give us a call, and we'll be happy to do the research and let you know your options.
That would be incredible. That would be...
It really is incredible.
So for those people that are listening in, we're going to be back. If you go to buildingforgesradio.com/Harshman or Harshman Travel, you'll be able to hear this as well as the other radio shows that we've done. And make sure you check out harshmantravel.com, harshmantravel.com. So, Ron, we're, believe it or not, 2 months down into 2024. If you're planning your holiday vacations, it's not too early. So especially for next year, believe it or not, it comes up kind of quick. So make sure you check them out, harshmantravel.com. So, Ron, I'll let you wrap it up.
All righty. Everybody have a very, very good week. Get ready for upcoming holidays and vacations. And we even have to look forward to time change coming up pretty soon. So
that's great. Good
we'll
news.
We'll see everybody next week. And have a good week and a safe week.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a good one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.